Vibhum विभुमन्
विभुमन्
तस्मै
तस्मै
नित्यं
नित्यं
नाता
नाता
नमः
नमस्ते
अकरावामा
अकरावामा
गांडार बहुचो
गांडार बहुचो
Amsam saste deva marichadaya sete
Amsam saste deva marichadaya sete
Brahmendra dya deva gana rudra puroga
Brahmendra dya deva gana rudra puroga
Vida pandam vishvamidam yasya vibhuman
Vida pandam vishvamidam yasya vibhuman
Asma nityam nata namaste karavama
तस्मै नित्यं नाथ नमस्ते करवामः गन्धर्वभूजो असांसास्तेरेव मरीचादयते ब्रह्मेन्द्राद्यादेवगणा रुद्रपुरोधा वीणाबान्धं विश्वमिदं यस्य विभूमन् तस्मै नित्यं नाथ नमस्ते करवाम गन्धर्वभूचो हंसां सास्ते देव मरीचादयते ब्रह्मेन्द्राध्या देवगणा रुद्रपुरोगा विश्वमिदं यस्य विभूमन् तस्मै नित्यं नाथ नमस्ते करवाम गन्धर्वभूतो हंसां सास्ते देव मरीचादयते ब्रह्मेन्द्राध्या देवगणा रुद्रपुरोगा तस्मै नित्यं नाथ नमस्ते करवाम गन्धर्वभूतम् हंसां सास्ते देव मरीचादयते ब्रह्मेन्द्राध्या देवगणा रुद्रपुरोधा क्रीडाबान्धं विश्वमिदं यस्य विभूमन् तस्मै नित्यं नाथ नमस्ते करवाम
Gandharvauchu
Gandharvauchu
Gandharvase
Gandharvase
Amsamsa
Amsamsa
Parts and parcels of your body
Parts and parcels of your body
Dei
Your
Yours
Deva
Deva
Dear Lord
Deva
Marichyaraya
Marichyaraya
Marichy and the great sages
Marichy and the great sages
Dei
These Brahma Indraraya
Brahma Indraraya
Headed by Brahma and Indra
Headed by Brahma and Indra
Devagana
Devagana
Demigods
Demigods
Rudra Puroga
Rudra Puroga
Having Lord Shiva as the chief
Having Lord Shiva as the chief
Kridabandham
Kridabandham
Plaything
Vishvam
Vishvam
All creation
All creation
Idam
Idam
This
This
Yasya
Yasya
Abhum
Abhum
Vibhuman
Vibhuman
Supreme Almighty Great
Supreme Almighty
Great Tasmai
Tasmai
Unto Him
Unto Him
Nityam
Nityam
Always
Always
Nata
Nata
O Lord
O Lord
Nama
Nama
Respectful obeisances
Respectful obeisances
Dei Unto You
Unto You
Karavama
Karavama
We offer
We offer
Translation, the Gandharva said, Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and Marichi, and the great sages, are only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the Supreme Almighty Great. The whole creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purportedly, Brahma Swami here said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be many gods like Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra, down to the rulers of the lower planetary systems, presidents, ministers, chairmen, and kings. In fact, anyone can think that he is God. That is the false self-conviction of the pure light. Actually, Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, but there is even one above Vishnu, for Vishnu is also the plenary portion of a part of Krishna. In this verse, this is referred to by the word Hamsa, which refers to part and parcel of a part and parcel. Here are similar verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which indicate that the Lord, the Supreme Lord's parts and parcels again expand into other parts and parcels. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many manifestations of Vishnu and many manifestations of the living entities. Vishnu manifestation is called Swamsa, partial manifestations of the living entities are called Vibhinamsa. Demigods like Brahma and Indra are being promoted to such exalted positions by pious activities and austerities, but actually Vishnu or Krishna is the master of everyone. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said, Kekile, Ishvara Krishna are Sabhritya. This means that Krishna alone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others, even the Vishnu Tap and certain living entities, are his servitors. Baladeva is the immediate expansion of Krishna. He also engaged in the service of Krishna. Certainly the ordinary living entities are serving. Everyone is created consciously for serving Krishna. Here the Gandharvas acknowledge that although the demigods may represent themselves as the Supreme, actually they are not Supreme. Real supremacy belongs to Krishna. Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the only Supreme Lord. Worship of Krishna alone, therefore, includes worship of all the parts and parcels, just as water in the root of a tree also waters all the branches, figs, leaves, and flowers. Translation of Gandharva said, Dear Lord, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and Marichi, and the great sages are only differentiated parts and parcels of your body. You are the Supreme Almighty Great. Your creation is just like a plaything for you. We always accept you as the Supreme Personality of God, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So here the Gandharvas are saying that though the Devatas have some position, nevertheless they are Amsa. So the word Amsa is often used in Sanskrit. It literally means a part. But actually, we cannot take that literally. For instance, we call the jiva a part of God or an amsa of God. That doesn't mean we cut a piece of God up and this is jiva. So it's not part in that sense. What does part mean? Obviously, it means it's connected to something as a whole. So it's related to something very intimately, and should share the qualities of the whole. And it is also part, meaning it's not the whole thing. So it must have less qualities and less powers, etc., than the whole. So generally we can take the word amsa to mean dependent. Not something which is dependent upon the Supreme Lord is called amsa. So we have different types of amsas of the Supreme Lord, depending on how similar they are and how much powers they have. So we have the svamsa, which means his own part, which means dependent, but qualities are very, very similar, so it's called Swamsa, his own part. So this refers to different forms of the Supreme Lord. They are called Swamsa in relation to Krishna. So they're called Amsa, not in the sense that they are jivas or anything else. They are Supreme Lord, but again, they do not manifest the full amount of qualities that Krishna manifests. And they are dependent on him, so therefore, in one sense, they are all God, They take shelter of them. So therefore, they are called Amsa. But they're not dependent in the same way as Jivas are dependent on God, because they are God, and God cannot depend on anything. So in one sense, they're not dependent in the same way. But because they show less qualities in that sense, they are called dependent. So we have this Swamsa. And then we have the Jivas, which are called Vibhinamsa, which means separate parts, which means they're distinctly different, even though they're considered Amsa. So how are they different? They're different in that they have much less qualities than the Supreme Lord, and they are very dependent on the Supreme Lord. Right? So they're called Vibhinamsa. We have other Shaktis of the Lord also, like the external energy, Maya Shakti. This can also be called an Amsa of the Lord, but that's even more different because it is Achit, whereas Jiva at least is Chit. So Maya is Achit, so it is quite different. So usually we don't call it heart in the same way. Of course, Ramanujacharya calls it a part because he says, if it's just Advaita, everything is one with the Lord, and therefore matter is also part of the Lord, qualified portion of the Lord. So this Maya also is related to the Lord and dependent on the Lord, but it is quite different, so it's put in a separate category. In any case, everything is in some way dependent on the Supreme Lord. So matter is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord because it's unconscious and acts only under His desire. And the Jivas are dependent on the Lord for their very existence, even though they are conscious. They are not fully powerful. And the other forms of God are dependent in the sense that they show partial manifestation of qualities. That does not mean they depend on something else, otherwise they won't be God. So in this way we have the Amsas of the Lord. And then we have Amsa Amsa. So this sometimes can refer to forms of the Lord who have less powers than others. So we can say that Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is expansion of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, is expansion of Karnadakshaya Vishnu, is Amsa Amsa Amsa. And then Karnadakshaya Vishnu is expansion from Shankarshan. Shankarshan is expansion from Krishna, whatever. So in this way, Amsa 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 Amsa. So that's one way in which you say Amsas. Here, of course, it refers to the Devatas. So they are not the Supreme Lord, so we cannot think of them as the same way as Lord's expansions like Kshiradakshaya Vishnu from Mahavishnu, etc. They are, in most cases, Jivas. But as I said, they're also Vibhinamsa, so they're Amsa in that sense. So here the word Amsa Amsa means that they are parts of parts, so they have much less powers. They're showing much less powers than the Supreme Lord, but they are not the Lord in the same way that Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is an Amsa of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. They are also Amsa, but they are Amsa in another way, and that is that they are given powers by the Supreme Lord as devotees of the Lord. So in that sense we can say they are secondarily, they may be called avatars of the Lord of some sort as vibhutis, even though they're jivas, like Shaktivesh avatars. So in any case, the idea is that as Amsa Amsa, they are very dependent upon the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they must offer respects to Him. So therefore, we offer respects to you because you are that Supreme Lord, Vibhu, and we are simply Amsa Amsa. So they, not only the Gandharvas are actually less. We have a list here of Brahma, Indra, Rudra, etc. So the Gandharvas have less powers than that. But even the most powerful devatas are still Amsa Amsa. They're only partial powers. Okay? So, since they are amsa independent, that means their powers are dependent upon the Supreme Lord. Without the Supreme Lord, they don't manifest these powers at all. So, though many people will worship the Devatas because they do have powers, proper understanding is that those powers are given by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the actual object of worship, not the Devatas or the Gandharvas or anybody else. So therefore, if one worships the Supreme Lord, all the other worship is included. In the case of Krishna, as distinct from the other forms of God, he is called Swayam Bhagavan. So all of the forms of God must have all the qualities, otherwise they cannot be God. But Krishna manifests those qualities in a more remarkable way than others, and others may not manifest all the qualities. So in that sense, he is called Swayam Bhagavan as compared to Bhagavan. So just as worship of Supreme Lord includes Devata worship, if one worships Krishna, that includes worship of all the forms of Vishnu and the avatar forms. Everything is included because Krishna is complete. He's full manifestation of all powers. Therefore, you should worship Krishna. You don't have to worship Rama and Nrsimha and Vamana and Varaha, etc. Everything's included in Krishna. So that is why at the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, when Rupa Goswami defines Bhakti, he says it is Krishna Anusilam. He doesn't say it as Vishnu Anusilam or anything else. Why? Because if we say Vishnu, then we'll say, what about Krishna? If we say Krishna, it includes everybody. So it means Nrsimha and Vamana and Varaha and Vishnu, everybody. If we say Vishnu, that won't include Krishna, because Krishna manifests more power. So, therefore, when you mention Krishna Anusilanam, it includes all the other types of worship of the Supreme Lord, not just Krishna. But if one worships Krishna, all the other worship is also included. So one doesn't have to worship any other deity except Krishna. So that is the conclusion of the Vaishnavas. This is the highest form. And as for just worshipping, distinguishing the Lord from devatas, etc., that is very necessary for everyone to understand. In devotional service, we have to distinguish devata from Supreme Lord. And then as devotees of, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to distinguish Krishna from all the other forms. So in this way, the devotee needs some knowledge in order to advance in bhakti. He needs to distinguish things. So that is where the Bhagavatam is useful, because it defines these different categories for us. What is that? Yeah, we cannot take them as on our level, obviously, because they are empowered by the Supreme Lord. So we can take, sometimes it doesn't mean they're perfect, but at the same time, we have to understand that we cannot criticize them also. Just as one cannot criticize a person on the stage of bhava, even if there's an apparent mistake. Because that person is very exalted. So again, we cannot criticize the devatas because they're appointed by the Lord. A body is different. Different bodies. Material body, but different composition. Well, then you have to develop deva eyes. Devata eyes to see devas.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the jivas are the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And what's the reason that the jivas have forgotten that their relationship with the Supreme Lord and fall into this body concept of life?
Well, because they are dependent that means they don't have all knowledge in themselves. If the Lord gives them the knowledge, fine. But if they don't want the knowledge, then the Lord cannot force them to take that knowledge. So those that don't want the knowledge in the material world.
Worshipping.
Well, if Vishnu worships Krishna, Advaita Acharya worships Lord Chaitanya. Because they are expansion forms and manifest less powers, then they act as servitors of Krishna. No, they're not actually. But they manifest less powers. So therefore, they put in a lesser position.
Maharaj, what's the difference between a normal man who worships Krishna and the devotee?
Well, it depends. It's a normal man. If he worships Krishna with devotion, he's a devotee. What's the difference? If he worships him simply as a custom without knowing what it is, that's another thing. That means he's still sort of a devotee. But he may also commit offenses, because he doesn't know what offenses are. He may not consider Krishna God. He may consider a devata, only equal to devata. So he may have many misconceptions also. So he may not be a pure devotee or worshipping in a pure way. Well, Radha is Shakti. It's not Krishna. Shakti is different from Krishna.
We are suffering in this world because of Krishna creating this world. If he doesn't create the world itself, we do not have to suffer.
No, we can't enjoy either though.
No, we can be with him.
Well, if you're qualified, but you don't want to. People here don't want to be with Krishna, therefore they want to be here. They want to be here. That's why the Lord creates the world. If they didn't want to be in the material world, Krishna wouldn't create it. But they accept the suffering also. But they think that the happiness is better, so they like the material world.
In what state will they realize that there is a supreme happiness than this?
When they suffer enough. That's most cases. Yes, when they suffer enough, then they realize. For many cases, that is the main impetus. Others by good fortune, knowledge, association, etc.
Maharaj, you want to show that as long as a person doesn't become perfect, he is not allowed to get into his spiritual planet. He doesn't allow him. But it's stated that in the battle of Kurukshetra, even people who were not qualified, they saw Krishna and they could go back home.
Well, they got liberated.
How would a person without getting perfect, they enter this?
He makes them perfect. But they do not get the same perfections as devotees. They may get impersonal liberation, they may get a place in the spiritual world with very little relationship with the Lord, but they don't get the same relationships as devotees. Yeah, blood. I think what Abel slew Cain because Cain offered grains, was it? No, he offered the meat and Abel offered grains and he got, then God said, I don't accept your offering, so he got angry and killed his brother. It's more like the offerings to devatas, like to Durga or something like that. Yeah, similar to that. So, I suppose, of course, the idea is that the offering of the meat was more valuable than the offering of the grain also, so it was a kind of a disrespect in that sense, he said that. But you will see there's sacrifice there, as there's also sacrifice in the Vedas of animals.
And if in the Vedas, if you don't, if you say, well, we're not going to offer the cows and the horses today, we're just going to offer something, then again, same thing would probably happen. You're breaking the rules, so therefore, it's not good. So maybe in that sense it was said. Generally, no. Well, it's like Buddha also rejected the Vedas. Buddha, he rejected the Vedas. Even though he is also avatar of the Lord. So according to circumstance, they may say some slightly different things.
Narendra Sri Srimad Mahagadam ki
jai,
Sri Narasimha Maharaj ki
jai,
Sri Vaidya Sri Nityananda Sri Prabhupada ki
jai,
Sai Gaur Premananda ki
jai.
Thank you.